Open Mic Friday, May the 18th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. And this is almost the first time this week that I'm all alone without other individuals like Mark Laverty or Mark Smith or Wes Reimnitz. We're here to take your calls on any subject at all of a theological nature. And, of course, we have some items we want to think about and talk about, too, between calls. But don't hesitate. In St. Louis, the number is 505-7850. But even in St. Louis and anywhere in North America, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. I want to make one point. 2 hours from now, Issues Etc. is going to be starting off, and they have two guests that you need to hear. The first is Norman Nagel. He was just advertised. He's going to talk about the Easter, and then Will Whedon is going to be speaking also, who is the, I believe, new pastor at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So make sure that you tune in at 3 o'clock for 2 great hours. Of course, that's with Issues Etc. But we're going to be talking about issues. You may want to talk about what Pastor Tom Eckstein spoke on homosexuality, or what Pastor Mark Smith and Wes Reimnitz did with ruminations on the Ascension yesterday, or even talk a little bit about Dr. Mark Laverty with his piano students in the studio. Only too happy to entertain any of those subjects. In the meantime, just to get started here, I want to talk about faith. Faith. The whole idea, some people think, that infants cannot believe because they're infants is a prime example of not understanding how God defines the word faith. This week we've been talking about different worldviews, and a worldview is known basically by the way terms are defined, such as, just to take a little example of how words are defined, the earth. If you think the earth is flat rather than an orb, you're going to have quite a different worldview of the universe. You're still going to be able to guide a ship through the sea, because they were able to do that even under Ptolemaic science. But when Copernican came on the scene, Copernicus, I should say, wow, things changed. Worldviews. Faith. A lot of people have a hard time distinguishing faith from knowledge. And this is why I think they believe that children really can't have faith, because how can they know anything? But if you understand faith to be trust, I don't know how much your pet dog or cat knows, but I tell you, we had both dogs and cats. They trust us. In fact, every time somebody comes over to the house, I have a little trick with our cat that we have right now, Mitzi. I take some special treats, and all I have to do is shake the container, and she comes bounding from wherever she's at, because she hears that, and goes right to a spot where I'm going to put them up. It's a scratch post, and on the top of it is kind of flat. She can actually sit up there, and I put the little treats right up on there, and boy, she's just there in no time at all. Now, if I ask her what the treats are made out of, she has no idea. I don't think she cares. But she sure trusts me. In fact, I hesitate that if I ever shake it, not to put something down, I think would maybe cause a real problem with her. She'd just sit there and wonder what is going on here. You see, trust means you are inclined towards someone. And babies are definitely inclined toward their parents. It doesn't take long at all after the birth of a child that a baby clings to the mother and the father, depending on how much he is able to be with the baby. The point I'm making here is when God says that through faith you receive the benefits of salvation, that doesn't necessarily mean a faith with knowledge who Jesus Christ is, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead. If John the Baptist can leap in the womb with joy, he's not even born yet. And we are told by the angel in the chapter before that that is because he is filled with the Holy Spirit, then God can create faith in a child. No problem at all. So we really need to define faith. Now, even though KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we don't mention the confessions of the Lutheran Church that often. And I'll tell you why I don't on Law and Gospel, is because the confessions are an accurate summary of the Bible. So that when I taught adult instruction, speaking about the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, and Lord's Supper, as people were trying to make a decision whether to become Lutheran, I would only use the Bible. Now, in the back of my mind were the confessions as I looked for the appropriate verses. But as a good example, the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and so forth. Every phrase is part of a Bible verse. Every phrase. And that's how you teach the Apostles' Creed, by taking a look at the Bible verses. In fact, the way I like teaching the catechism, that's Luther's six chief parts about what a Christian ought to know as he grows in the faith, I would teach the parts from the point of view of the Bible and from a law gospel perspective. Then I would hand out the catechism as a summary of what we had just gone through. So I'm much more in tune with taking a look at actual Bible verses, because many of you listening are not of a Lutheran background, and so even if I quote the confessions of our church, that's not going to make much difference unless I can back it up with Scripture. But here's one that I think is kind of important to quote when we're talking about salvation. This is from what's called the Augsburg Confession. This was a confession in 1530, by the Lutherans before the emperor, and they were arguing with the Romans about this issue. Are we saved by through faith alone or through faith and works? The Romans said, no, faith and works. The Lutherans said, no, faith alone. And the reason the Lutherans said faith alone is because from God's point of view, you can't even do a good work until you are totally saved. What? I know all kinds of people who do good work. No. I said from God's point of view. Because he doesn't define a good work only by the action done. Let's say you're walking along and you see somebody thirsty, and so you give them a drink of water. That may be a good work, but it may not be a good work in God's eyes, which he refers to as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, because he's looking for motivation, not simply the outward act. And the motivation to be a truly good work in God's eyes needs to be motivated out of love for Jesus. So only believers can do good works in God's sight. Outward good works are still rewarded. You stay under the speed limit, whether you're a Christian or an atheist, you won't get a ticket for going over the speed limit. You might get it for having a taillight out or something, but not for going over the speed limit. Therefore, what we're speaking of here is faith all by itself saves, and then good works follow. The Roman understanding of salvation is kind of a process where you become more and more holy. And if you die and you really haven't taken care of, say, the temporal consequences of your sins, you go to a place called purgatory to make up for that. even though they do teach that on Judgment Day, all those people living on earth will not have to go to purgatory. And I've never quite figured that out. Why on Judgment Day do they get scot-off free from purgatory? Of course, Lutherans get scot-off free from purgatory or punishment after death because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So we have a somewhat different view of the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ. Romans still are Christians because they do look to Jesus and Him alone for their salvation. But we differ on the means by which God transfers the salvation from the cross and the empty tomb to you and me. Lutherans teach through faith alone. So here's what the Augsburg Confession has to say. People are to be reminded that the term faith here does not signify only historical knowledge, the kind of faith that the ungodly and the devil have, but that it signifies faith which believes not only the history, that is, of the Bible, but also the effect of history. Namely, this article of the forgiveness of sins, that is, that we have grace, righteousness, and forgiveness of sins through Christ. Now, do you notice how, therefore, faith moves from a reception of knowledge to a level of trust? You see, I can trust someone without knowing much about them. Maybe I have been told by a good friend of mine that is a person you can trust. So I'll trust that person because of what my good friend perhaps has to say, even though I don't know hardly anything else about the person. The point I'm trying to make here is trust and knowledge are not equivalent. When you trust someone, you get to know more and more about them. I got no problem with that. That's why we go to Bible studies and listen to sermons, because we are taught more about the one in whom we trust. And the more you hear who he is, what he has done, the more your trust in him begins to grow. We had that conversation with Mark Smith earlier in the week when we were talking about the whole idea of despair. That I had read in preparation for the Sunday school lesson that, frankly, when Christians despair, they don't trust God anymore. And I really kind of questioned that a little bit. And we finally came to the conclusion, it all depends what you mean by the word despair. If you mean, well, just like having a bad day, things aren't going right, you're kind of in despair, that's not a lack of faith. Have you ever had a day like that, where just about everything is going wrong? I mean, just real small things. I remember I had to get to, I think it was going to KFUO, and I had mislaid the keys. And then when you went to pick them up, they fell on the floor. So you had to bend down and pick them up. And then I was at the car, and I remembered, oop, I forgot my beverage. I always bring some water along with me in case I need it during the programming. Things like that. And you come to an intersection and it just turns red. And it's not just because the other side is going green, but because some person hit the walk. And so not only do you have to wait for the other cars to go through the green, but the walk is extra long. You know, that thing never seems to shut off. So, one thing after the other. I tell you, how would you like to have been, it was on the national news too, some school kids, I think high school kids in St. Charles, had decided to pull a prank and went out bicycling during rush hour and made a huge traffic jam. Now, this shows you the immaturity of these children, simply because, can you imagine, this was not that far from a hospital. And let's say the ambulance had someone critical in it, and they were trying to get to the hospital. And, of course, here's this huge traffic jam. because of these tricksters, and the person dies. You know how much that school could be sued for in each of those kids? People just don't think. And I was really kind of surprised. The police said that nobody had broken the law. And I don't see how that's possible. How do you stall traffic without breaking the law? I mean, do you walk in the middle of the street? That's not breaking the law? Or I mean, I unfortunately, the newscast wasn't clear enough. But we need to recall and remember that when we have things on our minds, we don't see the whole picture a lot of times. And that's why it's important that we understand what true faith is. Faith is something that trusts promises. Faith is not only knowledge about information or knowledge about the history of the Bible. You got to remember, Adam and Eve hardly knew anything about the Messiah. They didn't know his name would be Jesus. They didn't know he would be born in Bethlehem. They didn't know that he was going to be crucified, pierced in hands and feet. They didn't know he was going to be whipped. And I can just keep on going passage after passage, all written after Adam and Eve. Now, did they have less of a faith? No. The increase in knowledge about the one whom you trust does not necessarily increase your faith. It just increases more about your benefits. It's kind of interesting. I'm taking marketing courses as we try and sell some of the products that we have at www.lawgospel.com. That's our website, lawgospel.com. And they make a big distinction about not speaking about features, but speaking about benefits. Can you imagine? You need to buy my book. Why? Because it really has a nice cover. And we used thin paper, so it's not very heavy. And we didn't do 8.5 by 11, we did 5 by 8, so you can easily carry it. And we also use great big type. Would you buy my book? Now notice, you haven't even said what the book's about. It could be about how to fix a roof after a hailstorm. I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many people have come to our door because we were kind of in the middle of that hailstorm. Somebody had told me that it was one of the worst a few weeks ago in the entire country at that time. And so a lot of roofs are being repaired because they've got pocket marks. And so you got person after person coming to the door. We just got some mail today about how to work with your insurance company in order to get your roof fixed and all this sort of thing. Now, as you look at all these things, you got to come to a decision, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? And so you maybe talk to other neighbors and see who they're using. And also take a look at some of the work, because a lot of the roofs have already been done. So your faith in someone can increase by an experience with them. But there is no experience you can have with Jesus Christ. What I mean by that, you don't see him. And you got to be really careful to decide to trust him more because things are going well in your life. Because at any moment, something horrible could happen. A tragedy in your family. And then you're going to wonder, oh boy, I was all set to trust them, now I'm not going to. Now, you see, true trust in Jesus is there regardless of the evidence. Even if you think he's not really taking care of you. He's made a promise that he is. And that's why faith becomes the evidence of things not seen. You don't need evidence if you have faith. And a lot of times people get weak in the faith because they listen to the world and the world's way of thinking. But God asks us to trust in him. We know, if you listen to Law and Gospel for any length of time, Faith does not save you by making you do works that are worthy of salvation. See, that would be, we're saved by faith plus works. No, faith saves as you simply trust Jesus. Or, as some would say, faith saves by apprehending the Savior, clinging to Him. For He alone is the source of all good works in the life of the Christian. C.F.W. Walther, the great 1850s pastor and president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about law and gospel, far from placing good works in the background, the doctrine of the Lutheran Church points to the true source from which good works must spring. For a person who by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God has obtained a living confidence in Christ cannot abide in sin. His faith changes and purifies his heart. Now, Walther isn't saying here that you don't sin anymore. Sinning is different than abiding in sin. It's kind of what Paul means by those who practice, say, sins like homosexuality and gossip will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does practice mean? It means those who don't consider it sinful and have no repentance and are kind of in your face with these kinds of things. And it really doesn't matter how gross a sin it is or how little it is to our minds, like gossip. Unrepentance leads that person to hell. Now, you don't have to remember every sin you've done and confess every sin. You don't have to list them or anything, because God recognizes just your trust in Him is sufficient for Him to save you. This is not found in any other religion in the entire world, because all other religions are law-oriented religions. They tell you what to do, what to think, what to say, what to meditate upon, what to sacrifice, what to suffer, and the list goes on and on in order to become right with God. Good news is good news. It tells you how God is already right with you because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And we then begin to talk about a love that is far beyond anything that we experience here on earth. There's even a special word in the Greek, agape, but there's no English equivalent to that. Sometimes people actually use the word like an agape feast, which means a getting together of Christians with a Bible study, maybe. I used to go to Washington University and attend those, and we had great discussion with some of the students at WashU here in St. Louis. But when we're talking about trusting in Jesus, we want to say, although it definitely includes, you know, agreement with the historical record of the Holy Bible, it is also true that we need to remember that that's not saving faith. Saving faith comes about when you move from the information about Jesus to moving to trust Him with your life. In fact, not just with your regular life, but with your eternal life. That's really what Christianity is all about. When we come to that point, when we begin to trust in Jesus for our salvation, that is a confidence in His promises. That's what trusting Him means. Not an assurance that the history of the Bible is correct, even though it is totally correct. There are no mistakes in the Bible. When we get back from the break, we'll be only too happy to take your calls, and I'll give out the phone numbers because you can call during the break. In the St. Louis area, the number is 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio.
Twin brothers experience twin miracles.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Everyone knows twins have a lot in common. Identical twins Ned and Drew Ryan even married women with the same name. And within just a few months of each other, both had to make life or death decisions concerning their unborn daughters. Ned told World Magazine that doctors advised an abortion in order to save his wife's life. His brother's wife and baby, months earlier, had also received a threatening prognosis. In the end, both baby girls were brought into the world. Today, cousins Lily and Charlotte are healthy, happy testimonies to the blessings of choosing life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
You're a young woman. Staying fit is a challenge in today's fast-paced world. With the combination of eating right, exercise, and folic acid in your everyday diet, you can stay healthy longer. It all counts.
Taking care of yourself now will pay off later. Eat a healthy diet. Take a multivitamin with 400 micrograms of folic acid and drink plenty of water every day. What you put in your body matters. It all counts. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/itallcounts. Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and the Health Resources and Services Administration.
Start your day off right with The Morning Show, Monday through Friday on KFUO Radio. Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Join me as we start the day right with daily prayer, news and views from around the church, feeding the faith, and much more. The Morning Show, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your Lutheran radio station, AM 850 KFUO or KFUO.org.
The KFUO Radio Datebook is a public service that keeps you informed of what's going on in your community. Your church or nonprofit group can share an announcement with KFUO Radio listeners on AM 850 and KFUO.org. Just send the details via mail to Datebook KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email me, Buzz Ulrich, at buzzu@kfuo.org. These announcements run at various times throughout the day on KFUO Radio.
On the next adventure in Odyssey,
something weird is going on.
She was wearing a blonde wig and going by the name Jessica Brown.
That's all really strange.
Oh, admittedly, but not everything that's strange is against the law.
Fortunately for us.
What's really going on around here?
The mystery's afoot in the wind. I'm having trouble keeping up with these plot twists.
Get ready for a wild and crazy adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO Radio.
Busy moms wear lots of hats. Disciplinarian, nurturer, dietitian, and the old, did you remember to change your socks hat? But there is one hat that won't fit mom, the one that was meant for dad. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and here's author and dad, Pastor Robert Lewis.
Single mom, you've got to get your young son around men, because only men make a man. And so it might be Boy Scouts, it might be a good church, it might be a coach. One of the things I'm always thankful for is my mom got me into sports, and a coach, as I got into high school, noticed me. And he did more than coach me. He began to kind of mentor me as a male father figure. And that resonates with me even to this day. I mean, my oldest son is named Garrett after my coach.
You'll hear additional insights from Robert Lewis about raising sons to be godly men at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Tom Baker back here on Open Mic Friday. Took the first part of the program to talk about saving faith as trust, not just knowledge. So we're ready to open up the lines at 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. And let's begin with Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Pastor.
How you doing?
I am doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, especially after that ascension one yesterday. The hour.
That was a good hour. Well, every hour is good, actually. You always teach us.
No, this morning between 3 and 4 a.m., I couldn't sleep very well. That wasn't a good hour.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about the programs.
Yes.
I know.
Well, even those hours where you're not sleeping, those are times when our faith is being turned more towards Jesus.
Well, actually, I went to my computer room and did some computer stuff, and so I got some stuff done that I wouldn't know.
That's right.
How can I help you today?
I'm going to say faith is the gift of God. It's Him. Faith is God. Faith is Christ.
Remember I was talking about that Issues Etc. is going to have Norman Nagel on at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, and he's the one, yes.
Yeah, years ago when Don Matzett was interviewing him, I'll never forget this because Don told me about it. He said he was going to have a whole hour about faith with Norman Nagel, and he asked him, what is faith? And he kind of paused, he looked at him and said, Jesus.
That's right.
And that's all he said. And Don says, oh my, I got 55 more minutes. Now, it turned out to be a really good interview, but that's what you're talking about. If you replace the word faith with Jesus, mm-hmm. like for... we're saved by grace through faith. Jesus,
yes.
Not of our works. It really works, doesn't it?
Well, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of
God. Yes.
So, I mean, you're looking at the faith as being a gift. It's the gift of God Almighty. He's, you know, well, like it says in James, and receive into your soul the engrafted word of God.
Now, what kind of person would you be talking to with that statement? Do you find some people either ignorant of that or denying it, or what's the point you're making?
Well, I'm saying that really helped me when Pastor Nagel shows it helps the Christian, it helps the unsaved to place their eyes on Jesus instead of ourselves. You know, there's a lot at stake when you're talking to someone about faith that you can not be careful enough not to place any emphasis on them. Even if you say, well, you can throw it away, don't say anything like that. Just tell them about Jesus and let the engrafted word of God just come into their heart.
Yes.
Because the Son of God will help them believe. I mean, He is their faith. And anything we do to place attention on the old Adam will muddle that up. And we want to grab on to any of those little, any kind of lifesaver somebody might throw at me to keep me from being drowned. Christ... The faith is the evidence of Jesus Christ. It is the substance and the evidence of Jesus Christ. And if we believe, it's because it is a gift of God being in our heart that we couldn't believe otherwise. And the trust, you know, I mean, just like Abby, I was just trying to trim her paws today.
You better say that Abby isn't your daughter, it's your dog.
It's my dog. It's not my dog. It's my dog at work.
Oh, that's right, yes.
She is probably 7 years old. I've been doing her nails all my life. Never have hurt her finger, her paws.
Yes.
She can't trust me. She fights me the whole time.
Really?
Yes.
Even though she's had the experience that she doesn't get hurt.
She does not get hurt. She knows I love her. She licks my arm, but she says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit still, and I'm going to try to get away from you. So I got to put her in a hammer lock, you know, to do her nails. But, I mean, trust, it doesn't develop by not being hurt. It's a miracle that we trust God. It's a miracle that it doesn't come by, and especially when things go wrong in life, that's a miracle that we trust God when things go wrong, especially.
Because by nature, we want to say, if things are going wrong, then I must be doing something wrong, and that's why God isn't, you know, making things good. But that's a wrong view.
It's the wrong, I mean, faith is a day-to-day If I'm disturbed, if I don't have peace, it's because he's, and it's a lifelong learning to say, he is my strength for today, and he's teaching us. You know, he cannot give me strength for tomorrow. He gives me strength for right now.
Because it is a gift. Nobody ever receives a gift without some kind of vehicle in place to distribute the gift.
Yes.
How do we distribute that gift, that faith, to others?
By word.
That's right.
By water.
Faith cometh by hearing
the word.
Word.
By, comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How will they hear without a preacher? And the word is always in attendance to the sacraments. That word.
Well said, because...
This promise. And finally, you know, it. Even in this baby who cannot reason, this baby believes. Yes.
Yes. Well said.
Because it is God coming to us through his means that he has chosen, not what we have chosen. So.
Yeah, the reason faith has to be a gift from God and not part of our will, where we make a decision, okay, I'm going to believe now, is because the evidence is just not available for the unbeliever to, for example, you can say to him, your sins are forgiven, but there's no evidence of that outside of the Word of God, which necessitates faith to apprehend and believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a process of, and not just any word. In fact, a lot of people in our denomination, if you ask them what are the means of grace, they'll say word and sacrament. I've begun to change that. I prefer to say gospel and sacrament because
right.
the law is part of the word, and that's not a means of grace. That's a means
right.
of wrath from God to show that we're not able to meet his demands.
His promises, and in the word, his promise.
Well, even there, you know, you have law promises. At the end of the Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you do all these things, then you will be holy like my Father in heaven. Well, that's a promise, but nobody can do it.
Well, see, then like the baptism, the sacrament,
yes.
All the elements, they show the death of Jesus. They show the blood of Jesus, and that is where we are brought into the presence of God, and this is the man he has chosen to save us, you know, like the mighty fortress says, by God's own choosing. These are God's choosing. These are the way. And if I realize that blood, his death, just by speaking that to someone, I can believe what Jesus says he can do in that life.
That's right.
I can believe what he says he can do. But he can create he is the faith, but I can't bring them. You can't bring them into contact with him without the blood, without his death and his resurrection. And none of that would make sense to the human mind.
Yes.
So it's got to be just, we have to count on that he can work through that the way he says he can. He can work through his promise to be in that holy gospel.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
Thank you so very much for calling, Linda.
God bless
you. You too. You know, how you understand the gospel is really important. If you tell somebody, repent and you'll be saved, they may get the notion from you that repentance is the good news. But repentance is not the good news. Repentance is a prior condition one needs to have in order to receive the good news, which is the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. That's the good news. But you can understand how that is not good news to someone who doesn't think they're such a bad sinner. We need to recognize that just as, and I've said this 1,000 times before, a physician does a diagnosis prior to giving you the treatment for your ailment, so also the church diagnoses your true condition with the law, showing it as a mirror. Here's how you're truly like in the eyes of God. You may think you're a pretty good person, but look at how we fail day in and day out by either, if not by deed, by thought and by word, to achieve that perfection that God demands. And he doesn't get rid of that demand. The cross of Christ did not take away the demand that you need to be perfect. What the cross of Christ did is it supplied the necessary ingredient for you to be considered perfect in God's sight. And that was primarily, as Peter says in his sermon at Pentecost, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit brings with it the robe of righteousness spoken about in Isaiah. And that robe of righteousness are all the righteous works that Jesus accomplished while here on earth, but they're transferred over to you as though you yourself were the one who did them. That's why Jesus is your Savior, not your example primarily. I'm not saying you can't use him as an example. If you're wondering, well, what should I do in this situation? Perhaps sometimes what Jesus has done is going to be a good example for us and give us knowledge of what we should do. But you'll never reach that state of perfection here on earth. The law declares us to be sinners. But the gospel then takes you, the sinner, and through the forgiveness of sins, now is able to declare you to be a saint, holy and righteous, and that's all because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's why in Ephesians 2, for example, the gospel is pictured as the preaching of peace to those who are estranged from God. And in Luke 4, as good news to the poor who have nothing to contribute to their salvation. It's important to understand that to commingle law and gospel, to get the two messed up, is often therefore to give yourself some credit for your salvation. That's just a tendency on the part of selfish human beings. Yes, I'm going to heaven. How come? Well, I go to church. I have faith. I take care of my neighbor. You see all the I's? No, you're going to heaven because of what Jesus has done for you, how he has come into your life, how he is now the center of your life. If you've got another comment, and it can be on any subject theologically, 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Perspective is everything. And what's more important than my perspective or your perspective is God's perspective. How does he look upon you? And the first thing you need to realize, you can't figure it out by looking at your experience. Because by and large, negative experiences tend to outweigh positive experiences. And so, by nature, human beings think, well, if things aren't going well in my life, that means, boy, I've done something against God, or he's trying to get even with me, or he's punishing me. This is just law orientation. And a law-oriented religion is never a true religion. The gospel is what the true religion is. And it is the content of the gospel that one sees the sure promises of God in Jesus Christ. And once you understand that the promises of God are sure, you have what we call faith in Jesus Christ. That's what is meant by that faith. Phone lines 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, you're so right about the perspective. That's an interesting comment. I was thinking about that the other day, because if you're going to take a person, you're going to say, if you wanted to know what the best thing is about yourself, you know, and what you're entirely capable of, you'd have to be able to see your whole life and the gifts that you were given and understand all of them completely. And God understands all those things.
Yes.
You never do yourself. You get to a point where you think you do, and then, you know, you know, life takes you down a different alley or something like that. But he's the only person who's able to see you completely.
That's what we were talking about earlier. Perspective is everything, and one way of looking at it is worldview. Whatever your worldview is, if you're looking through the eyes of man, you're going to see yourself quite differently than if you look through the eyes of the Scripture or the eyes of God. And that's why when you go into despair, a lot of times it is because of a perspective that isn't God's perspective.
Right. Isn't there some phrase that the devil whispers to you in your desires and he screams at you in your pains?
I never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah, I forget where I read that somewhere. But it's the idea. It's always cajoling you. It's that spirit of kind of resistance to, you know, your better intentions to do things. It's always the thing that's kind of fighting you to doing something that you know you should do.
Yeah, this whole concept of perspective is certainly coming through with, you know, the gay marriage comments on the part of the president and the direction that the country is conversing on this. What I've discovered, and I'll ask you this, Brian, is that even those against what the president says, they never say it's because it's immoral. They just say it's against the traditional understanding of marriage.
Right. So the idea is that an individual can't make a judgment about other people's lives. But the thing is, when you're making a moral judgment based on God's word, you're not making a moral judgment yourself.
That's right.
You're making a moral judgment based on what God said.
You see, I was listening to a radio program, and the host just jumped all over a lady who said basically that she didn't like homosexual behavior. And he said, wow, that is a terrible thing to say, because it was almost like a hate crime from his point of view. But, you know, the devil really tries to get us to think that homosexual behavior is just like being black. It's something you're born with. But the other way to look at it is, so is a pedophile.
Right.
And
everybody's got some inclination which is going to lead them in a fatal direction.
Right. And being black is not having an inclination at all.
Right. Yeah, that's a totally different.
Yes. You're just totally mixing apples and oranges there. And,
yeah.
You know, I just feel sorry for people who are homosexual, because it does really appear that they're not hearing very good advice or reasonable sense in this area. And
no, I mean, if you're black or whatever color, that doesn't necessarily make you a good or a bad person per se at all. It has nothing to do with it.
That's correct.
Now, if you're living out a homosexual behavior, that's an action. And the action, if you follow through on that, it doesn't go anywhere. It's sterile.
You see, perspective is everything here. If you were born with a disease, you know, that wouldn't be immoral. You know, let's say you were born with some kind of disease that's passed down from parents to children. We wouldn't consider the child to be immoral.
Right.
And that's what homosexuals are trying to say. See, I was born this way. Well, no, you just have an inclination to sin in this way.
Right.
Having a disease isn't an inclination to sin. And then you decide on the basis of your will whether you're going to follow through or not.
Right. So you commit yourself to an action. It's the same way with a drug addict. You know,
that's good.
First you start small and you take something that's, you think it's not going to hurt you, and you keep taking more, and then eventually you get to the point where you just can never say no.
Yeah.
But you're still committing an action every time that you do it.
Yes. So I tell you, the church has got a lot of work to do in this area. You know, a lot of people were dismayed in 73 when Roe v. Wade went through. And for a while, the majority of Americans were for abortion. The majority are now against abortion in every circumstance.
Correct. So, because people got out, like you said, in the churches, and
that's right.
Doctors and the people explained what it was. We haven't explained why, you know, homosexuality is wrong on a natural level. You can do that, but we also need to do it a lot more in the churches. And yeah, there's so many churches that are lax in being able to explain, like, the basic, you know, our basic beliefs, you know.
Well, I have been amazed on how ignorant people are of the Bible. For example, there was this so-called conservative pastor who was arguing against homosexuality, and one of his antagonists said, well, are we going to follow what the Old Testament says, where we would put homosexuals to death? And his answer was, oh, that's the Old Testament. We don't follow the Old Testament. What? I mean, of course we follow the Old Testament where we're supposed to. And there's three kinds of laws: moral, civil, and ceremonial. We're not bound to the civil, which was the death of homosexuals, or the ceremonial, but we're still bound to the moral.
Right. And the moral also in the Old Testament was the sin against adultery and bestiality and incest. And, I mean, are we going to throw those out too?
Yes. And some people say, well, those were only sins in Israel. Well, no. Homosexuality, God himself refers to as one of the great sins of the Gentiles, you know, outside of Israel. So yeah. that I'll tell you this.
The culture surrounding the Jews at that time when the book of Leviticus was written, and there's a lot of that around, and it was very dangerous tribes around the Jews. And it's, you know, these things all related in a lot of ways to what was going on and at that time with those particular people.
Yes, exactly. And that's why you really need a professional in the area of Old Testament to make these distinctions, so people are just not caught up in the things that, oh, I didn't know they did that. Well, that would be wrong to kill homosexuals today. Well, of course it would be wrong today, because that's not our civil law.
And nobody has any idea of what kind of people the Canaanites actually were.
No, with their god Molech, where they sacrificed babies to.
Unbelievable stuff. People's hair would stand on end if you told them the way some of those people lived out there back then.
Yes, and, you know, they just got a rule, I think it's in New York, that you get a ticket if you're jaywalking while you're texting.
Right.
Now, in St. Louis, if a policeman gave me a ticket, I would just throw it away, because there's no law here against that. In other words, I'm not bound to the New York laws any more than I'm bound to the Old Testament ceremonial laws or their civil laws. We're bound to the moral law.
And even more to the point, I think I heard that on the issues the other day. One of the pastors was saying that when Jesus was with those two men on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know who he was, and so he's a stranger, and he's trying to get them to understand him. And what did he did two things. He used word and the gospel.
Yep.
So he went through the Old Testament and through the entire scriptures, they said, and explained to them where Christ was in those, and then he broke bread with them.
Yep. In fact, this Sunday in the High Priest's Prayer, we have specifically that, in fact, we may even talk about that, where he says that, I will guide you into all truth, the Holy Spirit will. Well, look, by the way, thanks so much for calling, Brian. I'm going to be at the store tomorrow, Bargains New and Resale, 2126 Woodson, if anybody like to come. And then we'll be back here Monday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
Views and opinions expressed on AM 850 KFUO may not represent the official position of the station's owner, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or of this station. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on AM 850 KFUO, please write us at this address, AM 850 KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. If you care to fax a message to AM 850 KFUO, our fax number is 314-725-3801.
Don't ever say that you can't be useful in God's hands. He has good works prepared for us to do. He multiplies our successes and empowers us to deal with our failures. Don't ever sell short what the Word of God, the good news of the gospel, can do through you to others.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
This week on Lamplighter Theater.
The ring! That is how it ended up in the nest! Oh. I must tell my mother what has happened. I must find Mary!
Out with you!
What?
Get out of my house!
No!
Yes!
It is almost dark outside. She's a girl!
This is my house and I shall do whatever I please. Away with you!
Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio. We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm John Belmont. After more than a week of fear in northern Mississippi, northwestern Mississippi, that is, that a fake police officer was pulling people over and killing them, police say a suspect in two roadside murders has been arrested, and they're not sure he was using a blue light to get drivers to stop.
We think he probably just uses front flashers. We can't even confirm the vehicle that was used, but what we can confirm is that we did recover a weapon from the vehicle that is owned by his girlfriend.
Warren Strain of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety says 28-year-old James Willie was picked up Tuesday in Tunica, Mississippi, by police responding to a domestic disturbance. A woman who works in one of the casinos in the area and drives to work at 4 in the morning tells the Associated Press she is looking forward to getting back to her normal routine. So do you like what happened with Facebook this morning, the long-delayed start of public trading after the IPO subscribers got their $38 shares?
The Facebook IPO blasted off at the NASDAQ, with trading beginning 2 hours after the opening of the market. The hotly anticipated stock opened higher, sank back to its opening price, then leveled off. Meanwhile, small knots of the curious peered into the ground floor windows at the virtual trading site NASDAQ maintains in Times Square.
I think it's good for everyone, not just Facebook. All the companies that Facebook helps support, all the app developers.
Facebook, which has gone from dorm room to cultural touchstone in 8 years, earned $1 billion last year, but will have to make much more to justify its stock market valuation. Warren Levinson, New York.